Well, good morning, and again, welcome to Faith Point Church. We're glad that you're here today. So I am super excited about beginning a new short-term message series that I hope will have long-term benefits for all of us. The short-term series will carry us through to Easter, preparing us for the Easter celebration. As I began preparing for what God wanted me to talk about over the next few weeks, one word kept coming up over and over and over again. I'm convinced that God wants us to talk about this one word because without exception, it is something that all of us either have struggled with, are currently struggling with, or I promise you will at some point in the future struggle with as a believer. In fact, I would say that this one word encompasses a universal human experience. That one word, wilderness. Wilderness. The term wilderness is used some 300 times in the Bible. We find it in some of the Bible's most critical moments, like when Abraham decides to follow God's calling upon his life and he is led into the wilderness, or when Moses encounters God and receives his calling to deliver the Israelites from bondage in the wilderness. We find it when the Israelites leave Egypt and head to the promised land. They must first pass through the wilderness. That's because getting the Israelites out of Egypt wasn't God's only goal. It was also to get Egypt out of the Israelites. And we find it when David learns to trust God in the wilderness. And it is in the wilderness where he defeats Goliath and begins to lead Israel. We find the great prophet Elijah in the wilderness facing a personal crisis after achieving a decisive victory against the 450 prophets of Baal with a spectacular display of God's mighty power. We find the wilderness immediately after Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River. The Holy Spirit drives him into the wilderness for 40 days to be tested and tempted by the evil one. Only after his wilderness experience is Jesus ready to begin his ministry to change the world. And these are just a few. When we read the Bible, it is amazing to learn just how often God's people encountered a wilderness experience where they learned a great deal about themselves and where they learned a great deal about God. Often it seems these experiences were not just important, but were in fact necessary for the people of God to do the will of God through the power of God and fulfill his plan for their lives. Like so many biblical characters, we too have wilderness experiences, times when life is barren and difficult, and we feel alone and desperate, wondering how we can make it through to another day. Have you been there? Here's what I've been praying we all discover in this message series, that there is a way through the wilderness, that instead of leaving us broken and bitter and far from God, that the wilderness will in fact leave us with a deeper faith, closer to God than we ever imagined. My hope is that we, like so many men and women of the Bible, would discover that the wilderness is a training ground that God uses to deepen our trust in him and to remake our character into the image of his Son. That some lessons about who God is and how we are to walk with him can only be learned when life is difficult and dry, where depending on God is the only way to make it. That some of the truths we know in our heads can only become real in our hearts when we spend time in the wilderness. And so my hope is that we will change how we think about wilderness times. That instead of times of frustration and depression, the wilderness will become a place where we'll see how Jesus is making us more like him, how the wilderness can become an opportunity to learn how to grow in faith and walk by faith. So this morning, as we prepare to journey together through the wilderness, we're going to look at four questions that will serve as the foundation for where we'll be journeying over the next few weeks. The first question is, what is the wilderness? Number two, what do we know about the wilderness? Number three, who ends up in the wilderness? And number four, And this one we will touch on briefly, but this will be unpacked throughout the next few weeks. Why does God allow us to go through wilderness times? So let's get started. What is the wilderness? Here, I think, is a good definition that the wilderness is a time in a person's life when his or her soul is parched and dry. That it is a time when today is hard, when the future seems barren, when as far as you can see, there is nothing but devastation, when you wonder if there's any way out. And the wilderness is a place where you may even feel the absence of God's presence. Have you been there? Have you been at that place in your life where you just feel like your soul is parched and dry? When today is so overwhelming that it's difficult to even get through the day, looking at the future is not even in your horizon, where everywhere you look, there appears to be one devastating incident or experience after another. When you wonder if there's no way out, and you even wonder, where is God in the midst of your wilderness? The wilderness is real. In fact, we know a lot about the wilderness. We learn about the wilderness from some of the great characters and heroes of Scripture, and we know about the wilderness from our own personal experiences. We know on one end of the spectrum that the wilderness can be simple and just simply unpleasant, that we may go through hours or a few days where the description that I gave about the wilderness just describes where we are in that short term. We also know that the wilderness on the other end of the spectrum can feel unbearable and involve immense suffering and deep sorrow that seems to go on for days or weeks or months or seasons or even years. We know that the wilderness can often bring us to a breaking point where the best words we have are, we're done. We don't know what to do. That it can bring us to the breaking point physically. That the wilderness can bring us to a breaking point emotionally. And the wilderness can bring us to a breaking point spiritually. We know that sometimes the wilderness follows a spiritual high. There have been lots of folks in our church and really throughout our community and throughout the world who have been a part of a movement called the Walk to Emmaus. The Walk to Emmaus is a spiritual growth retreat where adults have the opportunity to spend a weekend together hearing talks from clergy and lay people about the Christian life and how to become a better leader and a better follower of Jesus. Well, one of the talks that's done at this retreat is called The Fourth Day. Now, the retreat is 3 days, and so this talk called The Fourth Day is actually a very important talk because all of us following the retreat have to go home. We have to go back to our homes, back to our workplaces, back to our schools, back to the places that we were at before we came on that retreat, back to that place where maybe life isn't as good, back to that place where it's difficult for us to just make it day by day. And so sometimes wilderness experiences happen after those great spiritual highs where life has been so great. We've been drawn into the presence of God. We have been with God's people, and it has been incredible, and then we have to go back. And what do we do in those moments, and how do we navigate that? How do we continue to live in the midst of that wilderness experience? We know that sometimes the wilderness precedes a spiritual breakthrough. We know that sometimes there are seasons of our life where God is about to do something and we enter into a wilderness experience that can best be described as a season that is preparing us, that is equipping us, that is giving us new tools for something that God wants us to do in the future. We know that the wilderness is often a season that precedes a spiritual breakthrough where we are actually drawn closer to the presence of God, where we are becoming made stronger and better equipped to do the will of God. We also know that the wilderness is always, it is always impossible to go through the wilderness without being changed. That the wilderness has this changing effect on us. And how we respond to that determines the continued trajectory of our lives. I like what Rob Renfro writes. He says that in every great life, great battles must be fought and won. And the most important battle is always won in the heart of the hero. But it must be fought. There is no way around the wilderness. We must go through the wilderness, because it is there that the battles of the heart are often won. Did you catch that line? There's no way around the wilderness. We must go through the wilderness because it is there that the battles of the heart are so often won. Battles that change us and later change the world. So we've talked about the definition of the wilderness. That it is a time in a person's life when his or her soul is parched and dry, when today is hard, when the future seems barren, when as far as you can see, there is nothing but devastation, when you wonder if there's no way out, and you may even feel the absence of the presence of God. We talked about some of the things that we know about the wilderness. So who ends up there? Who ends up in the wilderness? Everyone, at some time or another, everyone ends up in the wilderness. It is unavoidable because it is part of the human condition. You see, we end up in the wilderness sometimes because of a known cause. A wilderness experience can be brought on by death, by disease, by divorce, by finances, by job losses and changes. A wilderness can be brought on by the experiences of our kids, the area of parenting. Wilderness experiences can be the result of our family of origin. And wilderness experiences can be brought on by spiritual causes. So there are some wilderness experiences that we know why we're in the wilderness. We know the precipitating factors that have led us into the wilderness. Some of those things, there are things we can do about. Others, there's nothing we can do. And so while everyone ends up in the wilderness, and while there are many known causes for the wilderness, the wilderness experiences can also have unknown causes. Now this is a tough one because we don't know all the whys. We don't know why we're in the wilderness. All we know is that we're in the wilderness. All we know is that we're in a season where we feel parched and dry. All we know is that it is difficult to just see the future. All we know is that we just don't feel the presence of God with us. That's why, my friends, it is so important for us to acknowledge the fact that our faith is more than a feeling. That what we believe and why we believe what we believe is based so much more than on a feeling. Because the problem with feelings is they come and go. The problem with feelings is they can change moment by moment, day by day. And so if our faith is going to last for the long haul, if our faith is going to stand the test of time, if our faith is going to hold us amidst the wilderness and the storms of life, then it has to be anchored in something much deeper than our feelings. Our faith is based on a trust and a belief that we have in the goodness of God, in who He is as it has been revealed to us in the scriptures, in the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. So we know that sometimes wilderness experiences have known causes. We know that wilderness experiences sometimes have unknown causes, but we also know this, that God allows wilderness times. Yes, God allows us to experience the wilderness. And we're going to talk about that more in just a moment. But suffice it to say, we have to acknowledge the fact that wilderness experiences are just going to be a part of life. They're just going to be a part of our faith. That as we continue to grow and deepen our relationship with Jesus, there are going to be seasons and days and months and maybe even years where we will feel like we're in the wilderness. But see, we have some good news. As Paul says in Romans 8:18, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that God will reveal to us later. So who ends up in the wilderness? Everyone. But why? Why does God allow us to go through the wilderness times? Now, this is a hard question because none of us like to go through wilderness experiences. They are not fun times. We would rather do anything else than go through the wilderness. And yet, they must serve a purpose. There must be reasons why God allows us to go through wilderness times. Again, we're going to touch on those just briefly. I want to list them for you. And then over the next few weeks, as we continue looking at this idea of wilderness, as we prepare ourselves for Easter, we will discover more and more, not only of the reasons that God allows us to go through wilderness times, but what can happen to us and in us and with us and through us as we experience the wilderness times of life. So why does God allow us to go through the wilderness times? I think for one reason is to prepare us for future experiences. You see, God never wastes our experiences, that there are things that we go through today that prepare us for things in the future. That sometimes God allows the wilderness experiences to prepare us for future blessings, that God wants to get us ready so that we can fully experience and acknowledge and bask in the blessing that he has in store for us. Sometimes he prepares us for future experiences that are in fact not blessings, but battles. That God in his sovereignty, God in his knowing what lives are like, knows that we are going to encounter battles in life. And sometimes the wilderness experiences that we go through are there so that they can prepare us for the battle that is coming ahead. God allows us to go through wilderness times to prepare us for future experiences, but also to teach us lessons. To teach us what does it mean to depend on him. To teach us what does it mean to see God as our provider, as our protector. That teach us who God is and who we are. God allows us to go through wilderness experiences to develop our character. To help shore up who we are in Christ. To help us to grow and to mature. To deepen our relationship with Christ, acknowledging the fact, as I said earlier, that there are things that we need to get into our hearts and not just our heads. And that sometimes the only way that we truly get those things into our hearts is by experiencing them firsthand. And so God allows wilderness experiences in our lives to help develop our character, to help us to grow and to mature. And ultimately, it seems to me that God allows us to go through wilderness experiences to make us more like Jesus. You see, when we said yes to Jesus, when we said, yes, I want to become your follower, yes, I want to become your disciple, we said, yes, I want to become like you. And so if Jesus suffered, if Jesus sacrificed, well, then it seems that we too must suffer and we must sacrifice so that we too might become more like Christ. Rob Renfro writes in his book, God's purpose is not to make us happy. God's son died to make us holy. In other words, to become more like Christ. You see, because God isn't so much a problem fixer, but he is a life changer. And what we know about wilderness experiences is that they change us. They change us. We're not the same We're not the same after a wilderness experience. And so that leads to the ultimate question that we have this morning. And it is this: who will we be when the wilderness experience is over? Who will we be on the other side of the wilderness? Who will we be based on the choices that we make while we're in the wilderness? See, because if we make the wrong choice or the wrong choices, then we might find ourselves out of step, that we may find ourselves coming out of the wilderness broken, bitter, and far from God. So make the wrong choice, and you may step out of the wilderness in worse shape than you were before you went in. But if you make the right choices, if you make those choices that draw you closer to Christ, closer to his community, closer to and more dependent upon his Holy Spirit, then you will find yourself stepping out of the wilderness stronger, with a deeper faith, and closer to God than ever before. And so again, who we become, who we are after the wilderness, is to a large degree going to be dependent upon the choices that we make while we're in the wilderness. And so over the next 6 weeks, I have what I've labeled just a twofold goal for this series. The goal that I would like to see, the goal that I'm hoping and praying that we will realize when we move ahead through this series and get ready for Easter. The first is this: to discover a way through the wilderness so that we can come out more like Jesus than when we went in. That we will be more than conquerors, as Scripture says. That we will find victory through the wilderness so that we can come out of the wilderness more like Jesus than when we went in. And the second part of the goal is this: to discover how not to waste our wilderness. To discover a way to not waste our wilderness. It has been said that God never wastes our experiences, that our experiences make us who we are. And so even the wilderness experiences of life, we don't want to waste those. We want to use those as opportunities to be drawn closer to Christ, to be drawn closer to his community, to become transformed and conformed more to the image of Christ. And so my prayer, actually my plea for us, is that we will, at the end of this series, that we will be stronger as believers in Jesus, that we will be more confident as followers of Jesus, that we will discover that there is a way through the wilderness experiences of life, that we can come out on the other side of the wilderness stronger than we were before we went in. And that we will discover that just like the other experiences of life, that we will not waste our wilderness experiences, but we will in fact use those experiences to allow God to transform us and to conform us more to the image of his son. And so I hope that you will make it a priority to be with us over the next few weeks as we journey into the wilderness, as we discover a way through the wilderness so that we might become all that God created us to be, so that we might see him, that we might be empowered by the very presence of Christ to make it through the wilderness, where we will be stronger and more confident and more fully devoted as followers of Christ. Let's pray.